Blog Talk Radio.
Check the mic real quick. Make sure I'm live with no issues, and it looks like I'm all right. I see I got a couple of callers in the queue already. Apollonia, if you're one of those numbers, because I don't remember what number yours start with, go ahead and raise your hand. Check this board real quick. I hope everybody is doing all right this evening. And it's been a long time since I've done a show, so bear with me. I'm excited to be back. And for those of you who don't recognize, this is Tony B, a.k.a. the Sandpiscean. And in a little bit, I guess Apollonia, a.k.a. the Astrology Lady, will be joining me. Tonight's show, we're going to be delineating the chart of Miss Ashanti Billy. So before I even get to that point, I'm going to do, I guess, a few announcements. I'm also going to read our mission statement, and I see my hand is up. So hold on just a second. I'm going to open up her mic. Apollonia, is that you? Okay. I guess that's not. Maybe she'll call back in. But like I was saying, before we even get into the chart, I'm going to read our mission statement, and I was hoping Apollonia can give the announcement, and I'm going to read the mission statement just to kind of re-familiarize everybody about our purpose here on the Cosmic Council Network. And I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. I keep checking the board because I noticed that the call actually dropped, so I'll wait for her to call back in. But back to the mission statement. The Cosmic Council is dedicated to the teachings of astrological, metaphysical, esoteric, and spiritual knowledge. The members of this council pride themselves on keeping an open-minded approach while spreading love, light, and wisdom in the name of Aquarian unity. We are a group of diverse astrologers, intuitives, metaphysicians, and passionate affiliates. We all come with a broad voice that we are eager to share with the world from a creative, fun, rich, and powerful perspective. Of course, we all have our own flair, our own spin, a unique way of expressing ourselves creatively. Our goal is to speak to those that are rarely spoken to or for, say the things that are rarely stated, uncover the things that are usually hidden, and to bring light. We feel that it is our responsibility as light bearers to provide counsel, insight, and foresight to those seeking to know thyself. Like air, we hover over the situation with you to assist in you in viewing the bigger picture. Like earth, we help you dissect the most needed pieces of the puzzle in order to create a practical plan to help you build. Like water, we cleanse, we heal, we quench your thirst. We seek to explore every emotion with you by getting to the root cause. Like fire, we ignite you, motivating you to take actionable steps for the greater good. We take our duties as the Cosmic Council seriously, and we stand by them diligently. Indeed. And hold on just a quick second. I think I see Apollonia again. Okay. All right, we're having a hard time with the board. Give me just a second. She's going to call in. And I also see another area code, 267. I'm going to say hi to you real quick, and thanks for tuning in. I'm going to open your mic. You can say a few words if you like. Area code 267, who am I speaking with?
Hello. Hello, my name is Uri. I just want to say hi. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Of course, sit back and enjoy the show. Yes, sir. Okay,
I didn't
hear
you say that one more time.
I said, I just want to enjoy the show tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, I see Ab is back. Apollonia?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I think the first time the call dropped.
I heard it drop, and then I picked back up and called, and I was just hoping that you could hear me. But
I
just wanted to say I forgot how beautiful our mission statement was. Like, oh my gosh, it gave me chills just to hear it. And that was like, I was like listening, like, oh my God, I forgot we wrote that beautiful. You know, and we wrote it collectively, and it was just like, oh, wow, I forgot how beautiful it was. So awesome, awesome.
Yes. Yes. I decided, I was like, you know, well, it's been a minute. And I felt, you know, one, I needed a refresher. And then two, since we're back, and reminded everybody what our purpose is and, you know, what really drives us. So I thought this would be great to go ahead and open the show and read the mission statement. So are there any other announcements that you would like to give? I know you posted something on Facebook about, tonight's show and Ace of Cups show coming up tomorrow with Rabina Bond.
Yes, Rabina's show is tomorrow at 9 p.m., Ace of Cups radio show. She will be discussing the astrology of cult leaders. So I'm sure that will be extremely interesting if everybody listening wants to check that out. And we will also be returning on Monday night at 9 p.m. We'll be hosting our Standard Moon Mondays, me, Tony, Rabina, and April, the ladies of the Cosmic Council. So we're looking forward to that. We will be discussing, I think our show topic is the evolution of woman, a woman's progressed moon. So, yeah, that will be really good to, you know, dissect our progressed moons, house placement and degree-wise, and what aspects it's making to our other planets natally and progressionally. So that's that with the upcoming shows. If we have any more upcoming this week, I'll announce that on Moon Mondays. And as always, still seeking affiliates. You can hit us up, questions@thecosmiccouncil.com. Any questions, concerns, suggestions, all of that good stuff, just email us there. And we're usually pretty prompt about getting back to people. So, yeah, thanks for listening. And I'm excited about tonight's show.
I am, too. This is a near and dear one to me. For those who don't know, and we're going to give you guys a few seconds, if you want to go pull up some information and familiarize yourself with this case, go right ahead. Because before we get into it, we actually going to do typically what we do on Moon Mondays and any of our shows. We go over the cosmic weather. And it's usually from a personal perspective, or you can talk about, you know, on a mundane level if you want to. So you care to share about any transits that you're under. I know you're happy about your Saturn return. It's quickly fading. Well, I'm not going to say quick because nothing's quick about Saturn, but it's fading. how you feel about that?
Yeah, I, as most people who follow our shows and follow me, they know that my Saturn return really kicks my ass. And it has been the energy has been blissful since Saturn moved into Cappy for me. It hasn't been as heavy and as dreary as Saturn and Sag, because when you think about Saturn attempting to, you know, hold Sagittarius energy under his thumb, that could be sucking the life or the joy out of things and situations and people. So I was really excited with the ingression into Saturn into Cappy. And, the energy has been lighter. I feel like my sword is sharpened. Like, even though I know there's still a long path ahead of me, I feel more equipped after my Saturn return. That's a good way to put it for me. I feel more equipped.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more readily able and willing to just, you know, roll up my sleeves and get my hands dirty. It's like, come on, what else is there? You know, what else is there to do at this point? Your Saturn return kind of beats you up and makes you fall to the ground in a fetal position and feel so helpless, like, what am I going to do? But after it's over, it's like, okay, what else you got? So, but as of today, I fell, you guys. Oh, my God. I fell.
Oh, wow.
I bust my ass today coming out of work.
Mm.
And I don't know what it is, but to me, Sagittarius energy is very clumsy. I noticed that Sagittarius trip a lot. They fall a lot. They stumble or they drop shit a lot. They waste their drink a lot. Like, Sag energy to me is very clumsy. I have a Sag stellium, and I have always been the type to trip or fall. So my family is always, like, laughing and fussing at me. They're like, you always falling. Like, and every time it snows or it's ice, my grandma's like, please be careful. We don't need you to fall this year and all of that stuff. So I hadn't fell recently in the snow or anything. So I was like, okay, well, the first snow is gone. I didn't fall. But today, coming out of work, I went out the back way of work trying to avoid this coworker I didn't want to see. And lo and behold, it was like a lifted piece of raised wood, and I tripped and bust my ass, broke my my lunch bowl, fell all on my knee. So of course, when I get home, I said, "Well, let me pull the transits and see what happened to make me fall."
Oh, goodness.
So falling, usually in my book, falling of course can relate to Saturn. And falling is also akin to dancing, so it could also speak to your fifth house ruler or the sun when you fall. So Saturn is exact conjunct my sun today at 4 degrees cap.
Oh, wow.
I said, wow, look at
right
there.
On that ass.
And then, what'd you say?
I said, right on that ass.
Yeah. Exactly. And then I saw that Chiron is exact. Transiting Chiron is exact on my moon today, and the moon happens to be my fifth house ruler, so again, akin to dancing, and Chiron is exact square my natal Chiron, and also, it was something else that was going on, I wrote it down, that I looked at with the transits for the fall, I said Chiron, transiting Chiron in Pisces is square my natal Chiron in Gemini. Transiting Chiron is conjunct my moon, and my moon is my fifth house ruler. Transiting Chiron is exactly square my natal Saturn, again, with the falling. Yeah. Transiting Uranus is trine my natal Saturn in the 10th. So Uranus helped to open up the floodgates to, yeah, let's go and just whip her a surprise.
There you go.
Yeah, so that was my fall today. And my sister happened to be there. She was like, oh, my God, are you all right? And she's like, oh, my God, you always falling. And, oh, my gosh, it was a hard fall, too, y'all. It was. I hope I don't feel it in the morning. So that's my cosmic weather. But what about you, Tony?
Now, you know, I wish you would have had the time so you could see what side was on the ascendant. You know, I'm a stickler. I'm
yes.
Like, all right, what door is open? But you know.
Girl, it was about 5:30. It was about 5:30, 5:40 when I fell.
All right, I'll check it in a little bit, but if you were to look at the natural wheel, what's the third house or the third cusp from Sagittarius? And we were talking about, you were saying how Sagittarius is clumsy. It's Aquarius, accident prone.
Yes,
so that makes total sense.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You gotta do like reset. Open up the Lotus. Open up the Lotus.
Because I tell you, every Sag I ever dated, I have a Sag rising sister. They are very clumsy. They can't have an open drink next to their phone or next to any electronics. Like they constantly breaking phones. Or my sister that's a Sag rising, her phone screen is always broke. She'll find a way. Like it's just crazy how clumsy. It's kind of like that Mr. Magoo thing. Like, damn, how did you do that? Like, are you paying attention? It's that kind of energy when it comes to Sag rising.
Crazy. Well, you know what's funny, and this is Libra vibes, because now you're talking about Sag in third place. My husband has a third house Neptune in Sag, and he's going to do something to his phone forever. Right now, I don't know, they're making these phones weird now, where it's like glass, not just on top, but on the, you know, on the back side too. I don't know why, but anyway, his phone is shattered on both size. He's dropped his thing like at least 3 or 4. Yeah, I can't figure it out. But he does that to just about every phone he gets, or if like the tones that you wear on your head, a bud will go out. It just seems like electronics and things like that just doesn't work well for him. Anybody, I don't know what it is, but phones and stuff like that in particular. So you got me to thinking hard on that. Like, okay, I'm going to start paying attention to not only Sag rising, Sag suns, and people with Sag on the third house cusp. That is too interesting. Now, for me today, I thought this was spectacular. And today, the sun being at 6 degrees of Aquarius is conjunct my first house moon in Aquarius. And here I am broadcasting. I'm back on the air, and I'm like, I picked this date kind of like arbitrarily, and I couldn't even remember if this was falling on the podcast week and all of that good stuff. I just picked the date. Okay, let's just do this Friday. And turns out, yeah, you know, there's nothing that's happenstance. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, the moon is, I mean, not the moon, but the sun is conjunct my moon today. Not only that, I'm having my, and you are too, you're having your Venus return. Both of us have Venus in Aquarius. So happy Venus return for all those out there who have Venus in Aquarius. And I hope everybody is having a lovely time. I hope you're pampering yourself. Just don't eat too much. Don't eat too much, because you're going to look back and all, you know, you're going to look back and say, golly, I done gained 5 pounds during this time. But so far, I think Venus is at 10 degrees. My Venus is at 13 degrees of Aquarius. So I've actually been enjoying Venus energy since it went into Cap. And when I've already shared this with you, when Venus was in Cap, which is my ascendant, going through my 12th house, it was Christmas time, and I had an opportunity to really look at the gifts that I received during Christmas time, and everything was in alignment either with the 12th house, Venus, or Venusian type things, and Capricorn. I got new headphones from my husband. That can be Capricorn. I got a chakra bracelet with lava rocks or stones. I don't know what you call them. It's lava something. I got that for Christmas. I got a necklace that's actually a diffuser. So you can put essential oils. They have these little pads, and they come in different colors. And you can drop the essential oils right on the pad, and it closes. It's like a magnetic little clasp. And it closes, and it's so beautiful. And I've been wearing it every day. It smells so good. I've been pumped up on lavender since Christmas, and I've been enjoying it. So I've had the pleasure of Venus, of course, conjunct in my ascendant. I did do the typical thing that you would normally do during Venus conjunct your ascendant or Venus return. You pamper yourself a little bit. I went shopping, got some shoes, some clothes. I even painted my nails, and that's something I rarely do. But it was really funny because I had the polish that I chose was charcoal, which is akin to black.
Wow.
And we all know. Right. And I didn't think about that until afterwards. I'm like, you know what? We think all these impulses have no influence, and it amazes me. When you have an opportunity to look back to see what was transiting in that day, or, you know, what transit that you're currently under, you're like, this is amazing. That's why I love this body. That's why I do this every single day with so much passion. I am so grateful to even have an inkling or the ability to peek beyond the veil just a little bit. I just love it, and I wish more people would get into it. So I've been doing pretty good. I've been really chatty. I think I'm surprised at my kids, too, because they make little comments. I was, you know, doing a whole lot of talking because normally I'm rather, you know, fairly quiet. During your Venus return or Venus to your first house, you may have a tendency to want to spruce up your place. So, of course, I did that. You know, you just want to make things pretty, and you may feel really social, so you may want to get out and about. This is also a good time to resolve conflict, because you feel more diplomatic. You're more willing to compromise, and, you know, you really want to be fair and easygoing, and you really don't want to fight. You know, you don't want to argue. And I find that that's typical of people with Venus in the first house. And I guess it does depend on some aspects to it. I'm assuming if you have some harsh aspects, you may have moments where you're not as nice and cordial. But for the most part, people with Venus in the first house tend to be the ones who are like, okay, let's settle down. You don't want all that, you know, pomp and circumstance. Not all the time. And you don't want arguments. And you just want everybody to be, you know, cool or copacetic. Other than that, I'm looking forward to, and it sounds crazy, for Saturn to conjunct my ascendant. I've heard some good things and some not so good things about Saturn conjunct the ascendant, and I really guess it depends on aspects that you may have to your ascendant. Of course, it's going to wake all of that stuff up. And I actually have Chiron in square to my ascendant, Chiron sits in the third house. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting over a lot of my fears, and it doesn't sound like it even now as I'm hearing myself talk, fear with communicating. Before the show, and I even talked to my husband about this, before the show, I'm always like a nervous little wreck. But as soon as we go live and, you know, the show gives, it just kind of melts away, and I don't know what it is. And the only thing I can liken it to is that my third house Chiron in Aries, and it's at 19 degrees. So that has a lot to do with Leo and Scorpio energy. So it's almost like, how can I put it? The wounding of the ego. I guess I'm more concerned about saying the right things and doing the right things and just making sure everything is perfect, or, you know, I go through my whole little spiel. But I'm noticing that even more because now that Pluto is conjunct my ascendant. And I really would like to talk to some other people that have Capricorn on the ascendant or who have gone through Pluto conjunct the ascendant, because I scoured the internet. All I hear is bad things. Bad things. Everybody like, oh, crisis. I mean, I lost everything. Shit is just crumbling. This, that, and the other. And I'm like, I need a silver lining. Like, all of this, you know, meanness or madness, I know it's very, very possible, but I'm like, there's got to be some good in here somewhere. Got to be. So my focus, if I can, is as much as time and spirit will allow me to, because I'm allowing myself this go around, to pay more attention to the urges that I have. And I'll talk to you offline about some private stuff that I won't share on air. Plus, this is not the right show for that. About just the ascendant. I won't talk about that. So, but, I'm realizing a lot of different things. And one I just mentioned about Chiron, I'm really paying attention to it and learning to, you know, continue to face your fears, because a lot of times it's not as bad as you think it is. It's not as bad. It's like being scared to open up a closet door or going down the dark stairwell or looking underneath your bed, you know. You feel like that little kid that's like, oh, mama, I think a monster's underneath my bed. And your mom comes in and there's nothing underneath your bed. And you're thinking, oh, that's, all this time I've been afraid and there's nothing underneath my bed to be afraid of. So I'm thinking about Pluto conjunct my ascendant in that way. Go ahead and facing some fears, because I've talked to you about Pluto being a part of a mutable T-square for me. So I already have that challenge going on with Pluto in opposition to my sun and Saturn squaring both Pluto and my sun, which, like I said, forms a mutable T-square. My sun is in Pisces, Pluto in Libra, and Saturn in Gemini. So not being so easily frustrated or easily swayed, learning to be a little bit more in the middle of the road, and, you know, just going for it. I have a tendency as a Cap rising, and you could say the same thing as a Capricorn sun, to you want to be so careful and calculating. And sometimes you don't have time to do that. There's a lot of decisions that I think I don't make because I'm like, well, I don't have all the facts. So I'm not quite sure about that. And I'm gonna try to ease a little bit further in the deeper end of the pool now. And just allow Pluto to just burn away whatever it needs to burn away. So I guess this is my plea to Pluto, saying just don't kill me. You can make me strong. Don't take everything. Just take what you need.
And Pluto and Scorpio being the sign of paranoia as well. So how much of Pluto? How many of those fears will actually become a reality? Because a lot of times with Scorpio energy and Scorpio people, a lot of times their paranoia can serve true, but a lot of it is fog.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of it is false. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is them overanalyzing and, you know, trumping mm-hmm. things up. So
true.
I think that makes perfect sense when you said, you know, just having that fear of opening your closet door or, you know, oh, I thought I heard a sound. Did I really hear the sound? You know, that mm-hmm. a lot of times the fear in the scorpionic energy is thinking about all the coulda, woulda, shouldas in there.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's that? What if it's this? Ooh, what if it's that? You know, that kind of thing. But, I mean,
definitely.
So far, because what's the degree of your ascendant?
19 degrees and 26 minutes.
So Pluto is on your ascendant right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yes, definitely.
I think
definitely.
You're doing
he's
well.
Got a good result. You see? You know what? I did find, and I have to talk to Rabina about it because I was so glad when I was doing all that Googling that she had wrote a couple of blog posts when Saturn had, not Saturn, when Pluto had conjunct her ascendant. And
mm-hmm.
At the time, she was very excited about it. And I know I've kind of asked her throughout the last couple of months because I was really just unsure about that because I've heard so many bad things about just Pluto. And that is part of it if you really think about it. That fear, even when you say Pluto, even when you say Scorpio, it's like, uh-oh, you know, or Saturn. They almost run neck and neck. So I think the best way to deal with both Pluto and Saturn is don't resist. Give in.
Mm-hmm.
Give in. Get the lesson. Give in. So just like
mm-hmm.
what you were saying about going through your Saturn in return, you're like, after it's over with, you're like, yes, now what's next? Now what's next? And while
mm-hmm.
you were going through your Saturn return, I was going through my Saturn opposition. And Saturn was squaring my sun, which, of course, woke up a natal aspect. So I found myself revisiting those things that people with Saturn square sun goes through. But since I'm in my 40s, it was just a tad bit different in that I know what I need to do. It's like I know what I need to do, and everything is okay. Don't be so fearful, and I keep saying fear because I have a Pisces sun, so you know that the shyness is there. Doesn't always sound
mm-hmm.
like I'm shy. Doesn't always sound like I'm reserved, but it really I am. In certain settings, I really am, and I'm glad not too many people on here know me personally because they're probably like, I don't know you to be shy. But in a lot of areas in life, I really am very reserved, and
mm-hmm.
I can be passive. I can be very agreeable to the point of detriment. So and that was more so in my younger years. Things that you learn, it can be difficult, but it's such a blessing. So I'm grateful for everything. I'm glad to be alive. I am looking forward to beautiful and great things coming forth. Like I said, whatever has to be burned away, just burn it away, and I'm gonna be okay with it. I'm just gonna go with it. I'm not gonna fight. So, was there
mm-hmm.
anything that you want?
I think
to
you're
say?
Doing wonderful with Pluto on the ascendant. I think as Pluto begins to move,
mm-hmm.
you know, you will. I think the thick of it is over. Pluto on the ascendant is to me speaking to things that you were going through this time last year. You know, personal things me and you have discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've been through the thick of it. So your Pluto on the ascendant transit probably wasn't as harsh as others, but sounds like you've done a big part of the coursework, so yeah.
And I think that was because Saturn being a Sag and going through my 12th, and even now, and it's funny that I even talk about it because when Saturn was in Sag, oh my God, didn't it seem like it moved so slow? It was like we were in.
Oh yes, it was slow motion, girl.
Oh my goodness, crazy. But you know what? I'm looking at Saturn and Capricorn, and I'm like, damn, this is 4 degrees. Already? And I was just thinking
I said the same thing.
Quick, quick. It is amazing. It's amazing how you can feel the shift in energy. It just.
I said the same thing, girl. Probably because Sag energy in itself is quick, it's speedy. And Saturn just made Sag slow his ass down. Like, not slow down. You know, Sag is a fast talker. They're going to get through the shit real quick. You know, they just going to hit the key points that need to be touched on. Saturn was like, nah. We're going to go through this piece by piece, inch by inch. And it really and then to mention that damn retrograde, like, what? Oh, my God. It was
Talk
crazy. I thought it was just me that felt like I was in slow motion. And I was just standing in the kitchen the other day, and I was like, damn, Saturn in Caps feels good. Like, I said, that energy was just so damn dismal. It makes Tony on some real shit. It really makes me not look forward to my fucking second Saturn return. Like, damn. Do I want to die before I'm 60 not to have to deal with that shit again? Like, that is how I have been feeling. Like, shit, I don't know if I want to go through that again. Like, oh, my God. But, yeah, everybody, and the same thing, like you said, Pluto on the ascendant, you have been reading, you know, bad reviews about that. Same thing with Saturn. I have been reading bad things about, oh, when Saturn conjunct the sun and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, shit, I'm loving Saturn on my sun. Like, it's making me feel like my powers are revved up, like, I'm ready, you know, like, I'm ready to charge. Like, that's how I feel with Saturn on my sun. Like, I'm loving it. It's like, and I have a cap stellium, 4-degree sun, 5-degree Mercury, and 7-degree Neptune, or either is that one of those are backwards. But I have a cap stellium, so Saturn sitting on that energy, it's like, to me, it's enhancing it. It's refining it.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying it.
Well, I am too. I definitely am. And, you know, I think it's still, it might be square my sun, but separated because I have a late degree Pisces sun. So by degree, it was Saturn and Cat was still squaring it, but, you know, he was tiptoeing, you know, away. And I can feel everything lift and shift. It just, I felt a whole lot better. And with a lot of Cap energy like you do, it's no wonder you would feel right at home, like, this is my time. It's almost like a little, quote-unquote, second birthday. Like, yo, my daddy's home. I'm good right now. Everything that you had said for coming out of your Saturn return, and I think that is amazing. Everything that you have experienced and learned, this is probably one of the reasons why you're like, I'm ready to go, because Saturn is back at home in Capricorn, and you're like, hey, let's start this all over. Your slate has been, I hate to say clean, but quote-unquote clean, and you're beginning a new cycle. So what a better way than Saturn in Capricorn. So this is a good time. I'm like I said, I'm actually enjoying it. It throws a sextile to my son, so I'm feeling a whole lot better. So
now I think that's wonderful because Saturn square your son, like you said, you had to revisit a lot of things that you know made you a recluse or made you shy, made you timid. And now, you know, with the Saturn sextiling your sun, it's like you'll have a new set of wings, like you a butterfly fresh out of a cocoon. So I think that that's wonderful.
Yes. I was going to mention one other thing before we go ahead and delve into Ashanti's chart. Saturn in Sagittarius felt similar to, and I know people probably had some episodes where they felt that they were depressed and just
you know, stuck in their feelings or just stuck in some sort of rut. You couldn't, you know, you couldn't move forward. So imagine what people that have Saturn square in their Jupiter or in a harsh aspect to between Saturn and Jupiter. Imagine carrying that kind of weight on a day-to-day basis. That can be extremely rough. So even having Saturn and Sag square my son and going through the 12th house, I had moments where it was just like nothing was wrong on the outside, but it was all internal. It's like you just don't feel like you can make it. You feel like you're treading water, you're stuck in the mud. So Saturn and Sag was just extremely heavy. So again, I learned a whole lot. A lot of times when you're in a state of quote unquote depression, especially when you haven't been diagnosed with depression, it's a signal or a sign to say, okay, I'm frustrated that things aren't going the way that it should. There's some underlying issues that really need to be addressed because we have a tendency to blame others and to project, and we very seldom go inside and say, okay, why am I feeling this way? And I had to remind myself, why am I sad? I've got money in the bank. I really don't have an issue right now. Why am I feeling this way? And I started listening and just thinking about, okay, well, I don't feel like I'm where I need to be. Okay, well, where are you supposed to be? I started, you know, asking myself all sorts of questions. And this could be done even with Saturn and Cap because it's throwing squares right now. And I'm pretty sure some people are probably feeling like, man, I don't like this Saturn and Cap energy. Just remember to take your time and reflect and go within and just see what the issue is and work on it. And that's the real purpose of Saturn coming through. It's so much of an inside job. That's what I'm learning. It's more inside than external. If you feel like you block, ask yourself, where am I blocking myself? Where am I preventing myself from moving forward? Because the energy is going to be expressed. Either you're going to do it or it's going to come from external forces. So remember that. Always remember that. Be conscious of your environment and what's going on and check in with yourself periodically.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that makes sense to everybody.
I did a lot of that and a lot that self. Inner analyzation. I did a lot of that. Why are you sad? Why are you feeling this way? Why are you thinking that?
Mm-hmm.
I did
mm-hmm.
a lot
mm-hmm.
of that. And with Sag energy representing the truth, the source. So
mm-hmm.
Saturn had everybody attempting to go to the source. But a lot of people that weren't able to go to the source, you got to also look at Sag being ruled by Jupiter and extravagance. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of people did a lot of self-medicating with Saturn and Sag. So doing a lot of things in excess, whatever you had to use to cope, you did it in excess with
yes.
Saturn and Sag. Yeah, so... Definitely, great point.
Agree.
So, replay
yes.
this one and take some notes. This will be an awesome
yeah,
time capsule, and that's what I love about our shows. Somebody
yeah.
will be able to stumble upon this the next time Saturn is in Sag, and
mm-hmm.
and compare the energy, or you know, if you just take heed to the notes, if even if it's not Saturn in Sag, if Saturn is about to square your sun or if Pluto is about to hit your
mm-hmm.
ascendant, you'll always be able to listen to these shows and pick up little nuggets and things like that.
Definitely. And always be in the know as far as your natal aspects because that's going to help you understand,
mm-hmm.
okay, this energy is coming back around. And there's different levels to it. So the first path is different from the second path and so on and so forth. So this whole life experience is about us leveling up, for lack of a better word. So, yeah, we can go on and on about that because, like I said, I've learned so much. But and thank you for everybody being patient. And I know we said we were going to get into Miss Ashanti Billy's chart. So, Apollonia, if you're ready, I am.
And I dropped some pictures in the slideshow if anybody is in the chat room.
I just wanted to
show you guys pictures of the charts that we would be looking at this evening if you wanted to follow.
Oh, you did? That is awesome.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if you can see Ashanti Dilley's chart. Because I actually started working on that chart, and I put the date, and that's something I've been doing a lot lately. I'll put the date and the time and what was on the ascendant when I start these charts, because it sheds a whole lot of light. Because, I mean, you're looking at a, I like to call it a natal chart, you know, a map of one's energy. So I'm always cognizant of what, and I like to call the ascendant the doorway or the window. So what energy is available to me at this point? And sometimes what's on the ascendant is usually what's prompting you to look at this chart. And in this case, in Ashanti Dilley's case, it was 19 degrees of Scorpio. And I was working on it October 1st, 2017. I heard something. I wasn't sure what that was. At about 9:30. But before I begin, for any of our first-time listeners, this is a show where we just examine death from an astrological point of view. And the cases that we discuss are indeed real cases. The techniques that I use are not specific to death charts, but you can use them to get a deeper understanding of any life matter in your own chart. All you got to do is put the house cusp or the planet in question at the ascendant and just begin to delineate. One of the things that I like to do with these charts, I don't examine for the sake of, you know, time. I don't go over all the aspects, and I don't go over all the planets in the house. I just hit the major highlights and take it from there. I usually do a much deeper one here at home. But what was I going to say? Something else about this case. How it came up, just simply just watching the news. And it got to me because when I realized that this young lady was from my home state, which is Maryland, and not only just that, she was from the same county, which is PG County. She was actually from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. That got me, you know, to thinking, and she was just, 19 years old, a college student in Virginia, and
yeah, she was the same age as my youngest sister, born in 1996, so my sister just turned 21 in September, so she would have turned 21 May of last year,
I was 18 years old when I left Maryland to come to North Carolina to go to college. So I'm looking at this young lady like, you know, at that age, you don't realize how cruel this world can be or how cruel people can be. And, you know, she went to school, she was working, beautiful young lady. And just reading her backstory and thinking about myself, when I got here at 18 years old, I didn't think anything of it. I was fearless in that regard. Don't ask me why or how. I was fearless in that regard. So I can imagine her going about her life, going about her day, setting her goals, and had every intention in the world to obtain them. So, and for her to be found maybe an hour away from my present home, and, you know, I'm in Greensboro, and she was found in Charlotte, I just, again, immediately thought, oh, my gosh, you mean to tell me that someone would literally abduct someone and take them and drop them off 300-some-odd miles away from their home? And that got to me because I have a daughter that's in college. Even though she's right here in Greensboro with me, it still just kind of messed with me. So I started working on her chart, like I said, back in September. And app, you can chime in at any time you want to.
You specialize in the death charts, and which I love the death charts wholeheartedly. But whenever we do these shows, I attempt to pull the natal chart and see what I can see before I look at the death chart. So immediately when I pulled this young lady's natal chart, and of course, to the listeners out there, we don't have birth time, but common procedure for us ladies at the of the Cosmic Council, we pull the person for the top of the morning, 6 a.m., top of the morning, the day that they were born. So Miss Billy was born, what was it, May 13th? Yeah, May 13th, 1996, in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and I pulled it for 6 a.m. And right away, what stuck out to me in her chart was Chiron in Scorpio.
Definitely.
That immediately was the sore thumb for me, which spoke to wounds and handicaps associated with sex and her sexuality, attracting stalkers, creeps, weirdos, maybe even pedophiles. And she may have had a hard time in this lifetime relating on a deeper level, on a deeper intimate level, getting close to people because she may have been sexually exploited or violated or being used as some sort of sexual object growing up in her life. Another thing that stood out to me in her natal chart, her Chiron in Scorpio at 15 degrees squared her natal Uranus in Aquarius at 12 degrees. So, again, that energy being spasmatic, and you made a notation on the death chart that she had seizures. So that was the red flag to me right there as well. There could have been something post-traumatic that brought on the seizures, or maybe she was born epileptic. Who knows? But there may have been trauma related to the ignition or ignition of those seizures square that Scorpio energy.
It could have even been a fall. It could have been.
Say that again.
In her, I said Uranus and Chiron square could have been a fall that she had in her youth. Because there's only a 3-degree difference between, you know, her Chiron and Uranus. So it could have been around the age of 3 years old. She could have had an accident. That like falling down a flight of steps or something that brought on, you know, brought on these seizures. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, I do what I call, I like to call them the Pluto charts, death charts, however you want to do it. But I put Pluto at the ascendant. And with this technique, I use the equal house method, meaning that all the cusps are equal, and I just, you know, wrap the wheel right around and drop the planets in. And if you have any question about that, feel free to hit me up. You can hit me up at TonyBarber236@gmail.com, or I forgot the Cosmic Council email address. I forgot mine on there. The CNFICN@thecosmiccouncil.com. If you have any questions, feel free, or if you're in one of the astrology groups, Real Talk Astrology, hit me up and I'll be glad to show you exactly what I do. But, you know, I'm always, after I do that wheel, my mind immediately goes to the 10th house because I want to see who or what is responsible. And straight away, if people remember the case, she was due to open up the store on the base, and I neglected to say that she was in Virginia Beach, right?
Virginia Beach.
In the city. Okay, she was in Virginia Beach working on base at a Blimpy sandwich shop and due to open it, but did not open it, of course, because she was abducted. But one of the things that I noticed, if you put her Pluto is at 7 degrees of Sagittarius and it's retrograde, you look at the 10th house cusp, you see Virgo right there at the top, which speaks to her going to work. Her north node also falls in this house. Her north node is in Virgo at 7 degrees. So from there, I look for the ruler of Virgo, which is Mercury. I want to see what house is falling in this death chart and if there are any other planets associated with this. And, of course, there is. It falls in her fifth house of this Pluto chart, along with Venus, Mercury, and Saturn, all in Aries. And here she is working on a military base.
Mm-hmm.
Before they even caught this gentleman, and you'll see in my notes, that I straight away, with all that Aryan energy, first thing I thought about, okay, this is definitely somebody who worked in the military and somebody who was, who she knew by face. They visit on a regular. One, because you have Mercury, and Mercury is what? People are right in your immediate environment. So this person
mm-hmm.
was somebody that she was probably somewhat comfortable with. Meaning, you know, she probably had conversations. This person wasn't a total stranger. And there's so much more I can say about this. Even the age, if you see Saturn sitting there, you see that this is an older gentleman. There's so many different clues here. You even see the Venus energy, which is the ruler of her sun. You see that one of the things that they talked about is that apparently he was infatuated with her, and he always made comments about, you know, the shape of her body, because, you know, Taurus can be, you know, very sensual and, you know, voluptuous and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently he was attracted and I guess at the same time turned off by her. I also thought that maybe there was some prejudice here. There's something about her that he didn't like, and later finding out, and he, and I'm avoiding saying his name, and I'll just go ahead and say it, it's Eric Brian Brown. Retired petty officer who would frequent the Blimpy sandwich shop, and he would make lewd comments to her and things of that nature. It turns out that he has an issue with black women, period. His views on black women are not your typical views, and I don't know where that stems from. So if anything you want to add right now,
you mentioned her body and what he would say,
mm-hmm.
but I saw that again looking at her natal chart, because for number one, this young lady, she had Mars conjunct her sun,
mm-hmm.
which could add to her attracting men who are a bit controlling, aggressive with her.
Mm-hmm.
Men can, a woman with Sun conjunct Mars, men, she has a sexual aura, even if she isn't trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if men smell sex on her. And again, especially with the square to her natal Uranus, I'm almost sure she was victim to sporadic grabbing or touching. Men have probably groped
mm-hmm.
her often
mm-hmm.
against her will. I'm almost certain this guy wasn't her first stalker, just with the placements that she has, because adding mm-hmm. insult to injury, she had conjunct her natal moon. So a young lady with Pluto and Sag conjunct her natal moon, like you added before, very free-spirited, you know, just making her goals, trying to knock them out one by one, not fearful, not being nervous, and her natal moon conjunct Pluto and Sag is trying her Venus and Aries. So a big part
mm-hmm.
of her was so used to this, she viewed it as, this is just how men are. They're dirty, they're pervs.
Mm-hmm. Dirty old men.
They see something
mm-hmm.
they want, they gonna just touch
yes.
it and try to get it. You know, she just looked at men as horny creatures because of her aspects. And another
mm-hmm.
thing I wanted to add, before we, that's what I wanted to talk about. The transits to the listening, points on her chart.
As
well. Did you say?
Okay, you were breaking up. Go ahead, you're fine now.
Oh, I'm sorry. If this phone dies, I'll get my cell. But, yeah, I wanted to touch on the transits the day that she was abducted, her transits. Now, supposedly last seen and abducted on 9/18/17. Now, the transits for her that day, transiting Mars was square her Pluto and Moon conjunction on the day of her disappearance. That stuck out to me like a sore thumb, because anytime Mars is touching Pluto, that screams possible rape, that screams possible sexual advances, that can scream a good roll in the hay if you're looking at your own transits and you having a Mars conjunction kind of day and you going to entertain a new fling. That could speak to good sexual advances as well. But that Mars square to Pluto and her moon, that was a red flag for me. Also, transiting Mars was opposite her natal south node exactly that.
Wow.
So this is a karmic debt that was paid.
Yes.
Definitely, I'm saying that in the most sincerest way. I don't want to be unsympathetic to her loved ones. But with that Mars square to that Pluto and Moon conjunction opposing that south node, this was a karmic debt that young lady was paying off with her life ending so abruptly. And then she also had Moon square her moon. Transiting Moon was square her natal moon, which could be a bad day for anybody. when the transiting moon is square your natal moon, you just feel uneasy about something, butterflies in your stomach, just not feeling the day. And lastly, this one stuck out to me because I was what her mother was stating. She got up for work in the wee hours of the morning, somewhere around 4 a.m., and was leaving the house around 4:30. It was still dark outside because the health department was coming in to inspect her sub shop. So she was to be there early to try to get some extra cleaning done, and that Virgo energy that Tony was touching on at the height of the chart, getting into work early to do some extra cleaning because the health department is coming. So on this day, before time, it was still dark outside. Mom said she was whining a little bit, like, oh, I don't feel like this today. I don't want to go. No, but she got ready for work and left. That's where she caught slipping. That Jupiter opposite Saturn, transiting Jupiter was opposing Saturn that day. Now, whenever Jupiter is...
Which is the ruler Saturn, of her Pluto,
time
her moon.
Off. Time is wrong.
Yes.
She left work early, dark outside. Jupiter to Saturn, their difficulty between work and leisure time. Had she stayed in bed a little bit longer, oh boy, wouldn't have been able to call her slipping. Like, he was where he usually is, and he seen her ass when it was still dark at night, and it wasn't nobody around. So it was Jupiter opposite Saturn. Perfect opportunity for him, but fucked up opportunity for her. Had it been later in the morning, he wouldn't have been able to pull that in broad daylight. It would have been more motion opposed to that early in the morning. This is, you know, this is a crisis situation with Jupiter opposite Saturn. So, yeah, those.
Wow.
I just wanted to touch on those transits the day she was abducted.
Yes.
That was some crazy shit right there. It was like it was almost like it was destined or aligned, which is why I said karmic debt, especially touching that south node. So she knew this man in a previous life. the energy was not cool. It wasn't good energy. There was a soul tie there, and this debt it's done, it's clean, over with. And you know, when we look at it from a soul level, studying reincarnation astrology, there are people that feel like debt is so big right there, let me go and knock that shit out. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck if I got to die at 12, 13. I'm tired of owing them bitches that. Let me go and do that, and yeah. I'll be back after that. And it sounds, to some it may sound absurd, but when you're speaking from a soul level, it's just some shit so big, you just want to get that shit off of you. You just want to get it off of you and move forward.
I think that aspect of it, that aspect of death, because doing a lot of these, I have the same approach that you do. It's like, I really feel like we've been here time and time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And in each life, we are, you know, paying back our debts and hopefully not creating too many more. So I definitely agree with you about this being some sort of, you know, lack of a better word, karmic debt. When I saw the North Node up there, in my head I could hear, it's time, it's time, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
You fulfilled your purpose, and we can't wrap our head around that too much. Now, and I know we're not getting into a lot of detail. We only have like 23 minutes left in the show. But since I had a hard time finding this gentleman's date of birth, I decided to try my hand at name and place asteroids. And I know you're looking at the chart. One of the things, I used his first name, which is Eric. So I pulled up, let me see, I do have the asteroid number. And if you use it on astro.com, and remember, you could use this in a regular synastry as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be a chart like this. Asteroid Eric is number 4954. And in her chart, this is when I just kind of had to take a step back, because this asteroid is at 22 degrees of Sagittarius. And it's retrograde. And I'm thinking about, since we didn't have her exact time of birth, we don't know the time, we don't know the degree of her moon, we were fairly certain that her moon was in the sign of Sagittarius. And I'm like, okay. And here he is, or this asteroid is, in her Pluto chart, he's right there in her first house. And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me. And,
wow.
And I was able to do this. We'll talk about this on the next show when I go over the Simla Valley. Simla Heights, Simla in Florida. I did the same thing with the perpetrator's name, and it is amazing. You can see it, just these asteroids add another layer to your delineation. I was also able to, and I'm gonna back up a little bit, because for those of you who don't know, if you pull up the story, she was found at a church, I guess in the grass, leaning up against a stone here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he actually grew up, this was a church he went to when he was a youngster. He would attend DBS, and his family owned a home that was across the street from the church. So I pull the church asteroid, and the church asteroid is 10343, and it fell in her seventh house. Now, both the asteroid Eric and the asteroid church, they both made harsh aspects to her son. The asteroid Eric was a quincunx to her son, a quincunx to her Mars, squaring her Jupiter and trying her Saturn. This is something that you kind of touched on when you were talking about Jupiter squaring Saturn I think it was the transit that you were talking about. The asteroid
Jupiter was opposing Saturn that day for her.
So you see a little echo, and when I see these asteroids, just like I said, add another layer to the delineation. It just gives you, it is so poignant, and I think this is the next time I do a show, everybody will get a real good opportunity to see how well these asteroids work, and you can just use them in synastry periods. So like I said, don't just stick to it, you know, when we do charts like this. But the asteroid
and we're
going to,
I'm going to find his birthday, because you know we can find his birthday within the Department of Corrections. So we will, to the listening audience, we will follow up on his birth info.
Yeah, I want that.
Part two. Well, you know, next time we're back on Voices Beyond the Veil, yeah, we will follow up on that.
We could definitely do that. But this asteroid church fell in her seventh house, and I often say the seventh house in the death chart is like what you're up against. You know, the enemy. And in her case, it was her final resting place. But the asteroid church was in the sign of Cancer. And I found that to be interesting, one, linking back to her moon. And if you think about what the sign Sagittarius is, that covers that distance, that 300 miles. And one of the things I didn't even touch on is, you know how I normally break out a person's Pluto by Deacon and Dwight. I didn't even do that this time because we don't have a whole lot of time. When I saw the link again to the moon and the fact that this was his childhood church and that the home he grew up in was just across the street, and his family actually lost that home, they said, a couple of years ago to foreclosure. So he went to a familiar place. And I just, if that asteroid church would have been in a different time, I probably wouldn't have been as stunned. But I'm sitting up here looking at this and the aspect that it's making. If you mix both of the asteroids together, they are both pointing back to her son, back to Mars, back to actually what happened to her, because the way her body was found, and I'm just finding my notes, it says that her body was found 300 feet from his childhood home in the church that he went to, he attended DBS. Now, the sexual overtone that we were talking about, it says that she was found with no pants. Okay, her underwear was by her head. She was also missing some teeth. And you saw the Saturn in Aries, along with Mercury and Venus. And even her having Sun conjunct Mars, she was a pistol. She was a pistol, and she didn't. This wasn't easy for him. She fought back, and it was definitely evident that she fought back. There was definitely signs of struggle. Like I said, missing teeth. There was a plastic bag that they said they found around her arm. There was a plastic glove nearby. I mean, so many things, but her death still was ruled undetermined trauma. They couldn't figure out exactly what caused her death, but we definitely know, or they definitely know, who Hans was involved. And
You know what
you
just
wanted to
came
say
to me? As you were, this just came to me as you were talking about his hometown and the Cancer energy. I wouldn't be surprised if this young girl was a reincarnation of a woman from his past in this present life.
Wow.
Because he was significantly older than her.
She was
born in 1996.
No, 1998. Yeah, she was born in 98. He's 26 years older than her. 26 years older than her. And I did make a note that I thought this person was older because, one, Saturn, I just thought about all the keywords. So when the news came out, you know, and actually my husband is the one who called me. He was like, they found out who killed, Ashanti Billy, and he told me it was definitely a retired military worker and that the gentleman was older, which is something that, you know, he and I had discussed because he was sitting here with me as I was going over this chart. There's so much more that I wish I could that I wish I could say about it. But as I was doing her chart, and I did say I was going to do a show about her, and for whatever reason, I decided not to. Kamika Martin, the young lady that was found in the freezer in the hotel.
Oh.
Now, you remember who I'm talking about? Now, here's the thing about the connection between these two women, okay? Kamika Martin, or Kamika Jenkins, she was born May 27th, 1998, and Ashanti Dilley was born May 13th, 1998.
Mm.
Now, if you look at their Pluto, there's only a degree apart. Ashanti's Pluto is at 7 degrees, and I believe Kanika's, because it was Pluto was retrograde, Kanika's was at 6 degrees. They both, of course, had Chiron, and they both fell in the 12th house in their death charts, okay? That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that ties them two together was definitely sexual assault. If you ever wondered if Kanika may have been assaulted sexually, after doing Ashanti Dilley's chart, I'm like, I definitely believe she was. I definitely believe something else may have happened to this young lady, or something else went on that night. The other thing that I thought was very interesting is by Deacon and Dwight, if you look at their Pluto, that would be the Sag Deacon, Aquarius Dwight. And remember, you were talking about, you know, a lot of the Sag and Uranus energy. They both have Jupiter in Pisces. And one is a semi-sextile, and the other one is a semi-square, and it's just by degree. And if you notice, one was found hotel, which is also Pisces, and the other one found at a church, which is also very
which is
bold.
Also
Jupiter
Pisces. Names.
Yes. And I kept looking at these two, and it began to be so eerie. And you can kind of, I think these cases somewhat mirror all the unanswered questions that we may have in Kanika's case, or, you know, all the uproar that everybody was going through, saying something that may have happened to this young lady, and the police denying it, saying, no, there's no way, you know, she walked herself in there. There could potentially be something else to that story, just by looking at Ashanti Dilley's chart. And that just blew my mind, and you get to see the connection. And here they are. They're just 14 days apart. How is it 14 days apart, and both of these women died so tragically? And both of these women cases were, what, plastered all over the news. It was broadcast. People knew about these cases. And maybe more about Kanika Martin than Ashanti Dilley's. But, you know, nonetheless, a lot of, you know, this stuff goes on a lot more often than we would probably like to admit, but not all of them make the news. We don't hear about everything that goes on. So I was really surprised, like I said, going through these two young ladies' charts, and with Kanika's, I mean, there was so much to that case, and I eventually stopped working on that because that really just didn't sit well. There were pictures online of her, and it was just too much, and I decided, okay, let this young lady rest. I'm not doing a show on her. You know, I wish her family well. I just had to stop working on it. But in addition to Ashanti Dilley, there's another case that people really don't aren't talking about in Apollonia. I put it in the notes. There's another young lady and her young daughter. I think the baby was maybe not even a year old at the time. They vanished in that same area. They may have been like 30 miles or less apart from Ashanti Dilley, and they disappeared before Ashanti did. And they have still haven't found anything on this case. Her car, they found her car just like they found Ashanti's car. There are a lot of similarities between these two, but it's Kier and Chloe Johnson. So if somebody wants to look that up, yeah. So that's another one.
Okay.
You can go online. The daughter's, the infant child's birth certificate, somebody must have obtained it and
dropped in the time. But of course, for her mother, there wasn't any time. And I don't have their charts in front of me right now, but that's another case that I'm looking at, and I wonder if this gentleman has anything to do with it, since he's been known to wander and be in different places. He frequented prostitutes, and there was a lot to this gentleman, and I just wonder what else he could have done, because he was too comfortable. This may not have been his first time. So that remains to be seen. So,
wow, I can't wait until we get his birthday. Quick. We will follow up with you guys on that, because now I'm even more curious to what kind of placements he has popping off.
I definitely would like to know. And I was so hurt when I couldn't find his information. I kept trying. And I guess eventually, if you can put your hands on it, you definitely we'll get busy. So hopefully we were able to give enough information for people to see how these death charts work, or have them come back on the next show. And I can't remember the date. It's 2 weeks from today, right? 2 weeks from today. And
let me look.
So we'll be talking about, look at the calendar.
So we will be back on February the 9th. We will be back.
All right, February the 9th it is. And I'll open up her mic before. I'm going to go back 267-597. I'll open up her mic again. She is one of our supporters, and she's always listened to our shows, and I'm forever grateful. And I'm going to open up her mic and see if there's anything that she wanted to say or any questions that she may ask. It is in the process of unmuting. All right, Blog Talk. Okay, for whatever reason, it's just steady spinning. It's not allowing me to open up her mic. But do you have any last thoughts or anything else that you wanted to say about the case? Because I know we didn't get a chance to like truly, truly dig in. But, we still had a very good conversation tonight.
Nothing besides peace to Shanti Billings' family and rest in power.
Mm-hmm.
And, on to your next rotation.
Definitely. Well,
and it's been an awesome show. And thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah. That's always good. If you want, go ahead and tell people how to reach you and say something about the show that you're working on and when it may air and all that jazz.
I'm working on a show that I'm going to be doing by myself. I'm going to have you guys randomly come through, but it's candidly speaking, conversations, different thoughts and stuff like that. And everybody, you can find me at theastrologylady.com, The Astrology Lady on Facebook, and I think it's something Astrology Lady. It's on Twitter, but yeah. And that's all. That's my contact info.
Okay. And I'll give mine one more time. The C in Piscean, and that is T-H-E. P-I-S-E-A-N, and I think there's an apostrophe in that, is it, on the Cosmic Council email. It might just be Piscean@thecosmiccouncil.com. If not, you can always email me at Tony Barber, T-O-N-I-B-A-R-B-E-R, 336@gmail.com. Of course, you can find me on Facebook in Real Talk Astrology Group. If you're interested, have questions about what I do, if you have a chart that you want me to look at, feel free to hit me up. I'll be glad to sit down with you and we'll both go over it. I'll give you all the information and you can, like I said, feel free to contact me. This is something that I'm very passionate about. I tend to do more research I love cases, and I have a Scorpio midheaven. I'm realizing how much I use that Scorpio midheaven because I will immerse myself in this for hours. I do. I think I said something about it on Moon Mondays where I was working on the athletes who have been diagnosed with CTE or ALS. I've been looking at those charts, and it's probably like over 70-something athletes, so it's been taking me some time. I finally got everybody entered, and I'm just looking at the common denominators between the charts to determine who seems to be more susceptible to head injuries and concussions to that degree that they would develop CTE and ALS and things of that nature. Even boxers, it's boxers, hockey players, football players. I can't think of any other sport off the top of my head. I do cases like that. I'm also looking at a local case here where several people, Apollonia, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. My phone is dying, so it's going to fade out in a second. So good night to everybody listening in case I get cut off, guys. So it's been an awesome show.
Definitely been an awesome show, definitely. I was saying I was working on, and I'm just talking for the last couple of minutes, a local case here where I think apparently there's a serial killer. There's a commonality between all of the victims I'm noticing. Planets at one particular degree, which is the 29th degree. Everybody, I think it's five victims.
Oh,
that
wow. That's
now,
the one you wanted us to do at some point.
Yes.
Okay.
At some point, because that right there, that case is blowing my mind. I've done a lot of the victims of police shootings. I've been able to amass a whole list. All the way back to Oscar Grant, because this actually been going on for quite some time. So I have tons of notebooks, and these are the things that I spend my time on and trying to develop different techniques and adding layers to it, like these asteroids. And it's some amazing work, and hopefully one day I can do this kind of work full-time and be able to be of service and maybe help solve some of these crimes or at least point them in the right direction or, give them some kind of clues or something as to what's happening to people out here. I think this is a very interesting thing that I do. Kind of eerie, wigs people out because a lot of people are not comfortable with degrees they would sit and investigate, but this is something that I'm very passionate about, like I said, and hopefully I can help some people. So, like I said, hit me up. That's all I have. We're only down to like 2 minutes. I think we can go ahead and close out the show. Apollonia, thank you so much for being with me this evening. Okay, she may have already cut out. So, again, thanks for joining us tonight. I hope you learned something. Like I said, feel free to hit me up. I already given my information. So, peace and love to everybody. Good night.